Welcome to Murphy, Sam, and Jody. After the show, the After the Show podcast, if you've never joined us before, is easy to subscribe to and free. That way you get it every single day, whether you listen on Apple Podcast or the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you being here.
Big question for today. Will you ever watch Friends the same way? Will it ever land the same for you? Or will it be hard at first to go back and watch the show Friends since the death of Matthew Perry? I haven't watched it yet since, and I know Thanksgiving is coming, and while we're cooking at my cousin's house, we always crank it on, whether it's on TBS with all the Thanksgiving episodes running, or we just put it on ourselves.
Maybe that's a question y'all have to answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you really haven't watched that many episodes.
If I watch, I don't really care, and it's not to be insensitive, but it's like it's just a guy on a
same
TV
view.
Show dropped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you never were the Friends fanatic that Mm-mm. Jody and I were, which is really surprising to me because it's such an iconic show, and you know it has sustained itself. I mean, look at the amount of viewership it still gets today.
Yeah.
It's like Taylor and Phoebe, our daughters, immediately got into it, so it became a family tradition for us.
Well,
so for me, I do see it as a loss. But Jody always teases me, rightfully so, that I, you know, when somebody who I feel I don't really know them personally, but they're a celebrity.
Murphy's really affected
on,
by celebrity
it
death.
It bothers me. It does. There's a piece of me that just, I don't know. It's the way I've always been with any pop icon or, you know, that I have loved. And Chandler, I don't want to say he was my favorite character, but like most people, he was the funniest one on the show.
He was. The only reason it surprises me for Sam not to be a Friends kind of person, not that you have to be, everything doesn't speak to everybody, you know, and it's not supposed to. But because you identify so much with Chandler Bing, and you are so much like Chandler Bing in your comedy.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say you are Chandler Bing.
No, you're
yeah,
not.
That...
You're very similar to his comedy.
Well, and let me ask you this. I've always felt that you were very similar to him in comedy, but when you read the book and he came very, you know, clean on all of the demons he faced, it seemed like that put it in a different light for you, Sam.
It did. The book made him even more relatable to me because, you know, the addiction and the humor and the sadness and the humor and the depression and the humor. It's like, this is me without the multi-million-dollar contract. See humor!
Exactly the way he would have said that.
And what's really funny is, when we were sharing earlier this week some of the one-liners from Chandler from the show, one of them is like, ooh, I'd never heard that one, and that's me.
I'm Chandler. I make jokes when I'm uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's at when he met Richard or whatever, Richard and his
Richard's
date. And that's, to me, that spoke to me. I know a writer wrote it and he delivered it, but he delivered it because that's his character and that's me. That's me at a cocktail party.
I know it is. He might have written it because he was famous for going back to the writer's table and saying, I have something funnier. Can I put it in here? Like, one day, I bet you they're already working on a documentary on just him behind the scenes of Friends because apparently he was famous for that on the set of that show when he was not using and really, really messed up.
Yeah.
That they would write something, he would try to deliver it, and then a better one would come to him and they would constantly reshoot and he would try it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of Chandler Bing was actually Matthew Perry sort of bleeding through. And Marta Kaufman and David Crane, in that interview they gave this week about him, about seeing him 2 weeks ago, and that he seemed chipper.
Yeah.
One of the quotes from that interview they gave was that it's cliche to say that, you know, this character, this actor was written for this character, but as soon as they saw him... Mm-hmm. Read for the character of Chandler Bing, they knew he was it. There was nobody else they were going to look at. No one else.
Even, have you seen Whole Nine Yards with Bruce Willis and him?
I saw it in the theaters a long time ago when it came out, and that was it.
That's one of those movies that's just plain funny, and it's because of him. I mean, Bruce Willis plays the straight, heavy guy, which he needs to, but it's almost like Chandler is in that movie.
Yeah.
It's not completely Chandler,
right?
But it's him doing those things he does.
That was tough for me to separate. And I guess the same thing kind of with Jennifer Aniston, although she's able to finally transcend Rachel. But every movie that Matthew Perry was in, it was like seeing Chandler in a movie. You're right. Which I loved. I had no problem with that because he was So funny.
And this other one here, this is Sam too, right here.
I'm not great at the advice. Can I interest you in a sarcastic comment?
It's true. That's why Murphy and I years ago were like, please watch this show, Sam.
Yeah, we always thought that you would.
Please watch this show.
Yeah, right.
It's also good for when you, it's a comfort food show that also gives you laughter. Here's what I'll say. I won't have a problem. I don't think it'll be different for me watching it because, I mean, I understand that we all die. Mm-hmm. We're all going to die. He did die too young. It is sad, especially with all the demons and how much he shared with the world of that. But what he gave the world, his gift, was comedy.
Yeah.
And he would want us to enjoy that. You still enjoy the music of Frank Sinatra, do you not? And
yes.
He's not here anymore.
Yes, you're right.
So just think of it that way. Don't let his death taint it for you. Then, you know, you're really doing him a disservice.
One of the sad things, being a recovering alcoholic or whatever you call me, is the idea that as soon as he died, that's the first thing everybody thought.
Oh, I know.
What was he doing? He relapsed. What was he doing? And it's like I've had those personal issues myself. Like if I'm acting extra goofy around the kids, it's like in my head, it's like I hope they don't think I had a drink.
Right.
I'm just being goofy.
Right.
I'm just, you know, there are times I behave certain ways and it's like, I hope nobody thinks I'm drinking again because I'm not.
Right.
It's just what I am and what I do and how I behave.
I know.
And I feel bad for him and his family and his people that
the world instantly, assumes that.
I mean, here's a man who poured out his soul in a book.
He did.
I'm not hiding anything. Here it all is. This is what I did. This is how bad I was. And then the first thing people do is like, yep. He relapsed. That's why he's dead. And it may come out that he did. Who knows? But it's give it a break for a second.
On Saturday night when that news landed, and I had posted about it, Murphy said the same thing. He's like, he could have died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, the world doesn't need to assume that it was drug related.
Yeah, that's another thing he explained in the book and the interview with Diane Sawyer is that he had a near-death experience anyway surgery because his colon stopped or something stopped working.
Yes.
And it was a dangerous, you know, situation. And that was one of his big illuminating moments of, I need to stop this now.
Mm-hmm.
But even he said that there are things that he probably did that were irreversible damage to his body. So, yes, it doesn't have to be
a relapse. His body could have just given up. We don't know.
We'll find out when the toxicology report comes out. On a happy note, one thing that I hope for anybody that's never watched Friends before is you need to actually kind of push yourself through the first season.
Yes.
It was 10 great seasons, but here's when you look back now, you can see how it takes a show a good year to get its groove anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it really gelled after,
season two and
season
three.
One was fine. It was good. But man, season two, the characters were really entrenched in their role by that point. And that's when they, Chandler, because you knew how everybody was supposed to interact. And
it was an ensemble.
Well-defined
characters. Ensemble, yeah. Because the best episodes they ever had, it was just the six of them.
Yeah.
In that apartment together, being themselves.
It's so funny, and Jody was always one to point that out. There are a handful of episodes that literally are just in the apartment, and Monica's apartment,
it's just
that
life.
Is. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can still stay entertained the entire time. And I think Marta Kaufman said at one point, the reason that some of those episodes were like that were because of budget constraints and other reasons that they actually couldn't. I don't remember if it was strikes or, other cost of building other sets or doing things on location. So some of these episodes had to be written around just that one scene. And they always made it work.
Because it makes it more character-driven, not set-driven a place.
Let me ask you this, and I don't mean to equate the Friends cast with the Beatles. Different whole things altogether.
But
the Beatles, as a Beatles fan growing up, there was always that, there's still a chance they could get back together. There's still a chance. You always wondered if it was going to happen and what it would sound like. I know we have the new AI thing.
The new Beatles song.
But like the Friends thing, that's always been are they ever going to reunite? Are they ever going to reunite?
Well, they sort of did, a year ago?
But I mean, not like an episode or like, where is everybody now? Finish the story for me. So that's gone now.
In 2019, they did the 25-year reunion. And if you remember, Matthew Perry actually didn't speak very much.
He didn't speak well.
In that one. And I don't remember if they thought, I think he may have had one of his relapse moments at that time. But I think that each character has said that, no, I mean, it was a special mm-hmm. snapshot in time. They don't want to try to, you know, recreate that. They don't want to tarnish what, you know, existed.
You need to know when to go out.
Yeah. They might do something in tribute to Matthew Perry. I mm-hmm. can see that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you're going to see a reunited cast try to reinvent mm-hmm. Friends no. in any way.
And keep it special.
Yeah. And they tried to do that around Matt LeBlanc's character.
Yeah, he had a show, Joey. For a little while.
I think every show he's tried to make hasn't
right.
Hasn't
well,
really
they
worked.
They had a chemistry.
Yeah.
They had a chemistry when they were together. They only had one or two episodes where I was like, what? This storyline is not Friends strong. Like, it's not strong enough. Why is it not up to par with the rest of Friends? There's only a couple of them, yeah. And I could even name them, but I won't.
I remember some of those very well, though, because American Idol was becoming very competitive in running opposite Friends on some of those nights, and they had to up their game on Thursday night.
Yeah, they did.
They completely reinvented the last two, three seasons.
Because you cared about these people. You felt like you knew them. They were very human, but very funny. Things that we really crave if we're seeking entertainment. You crave something very real and believable. Mm. Like, oh, I can relate to that. But comedy, but the laughs... They gave you everything that you craved in a 30-minute time slot. It was crazy. You couldn't wait to be with them again every week. I read the book once. I read it quickly, and then I loaned it to you, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever buy yourself another copy of it
mm-hmm.
yet? Okay.
Only now I'm going to.
Yeah, you should. I think that it would be a really good second read through for you especially. And I know Murphy wants to listen to the audiobook, which Matthew Perry narrated.
Which I will do.
Which is outselling the Britney book right now. It's the number one book in America being read, being listened to. One of the things that's the honesty about his addiction, basically taking everything from him, like everything. Now, he had a great life, and he knows that, too. He also was honest about... He knew he had the resources to fight this like other people wouldn't.
Yeah.
He had been to rehab. I lost track of how many times.
Yeah.
But there was something else he got really honest about in the book over and over again that you have not mentioned yet that I thought was interesting is how many times he blew it because of his addictions. His addiction was the only thing he had time for in his life besides some work and the addiction. He blew it with some women that he was crazy about. Including Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts, he dated her for a hot few minutes. She was the one that pursued him, and he blew it because he was addicted to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And he hated that. I think he told the story about being at home watching her receive her Academy Award, right? And knowing that he could have been there with her, but he wasn't. He was sitting like on the sofa drinking straight vodka.
Yeah.
So.
And Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, I think that was just a one hot little makeout session.
Yeah, that was a makeout session.
Yeah, that just jumps out in my head.
That's just a Friday night.
I want to end it on a funny note, too.
Yay.
I found this, and during all the tributes, one of the ones that came across my socials was the time he hosted SNL.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he taught it, and one of the skits he was in was teaching a class, Sarcasm 101. I mean, you just hear that, and you go, oh, can't be any better. Here's a little clip.
Excuse me, is this Sarcasm 101?
No, it's Lamaze class for Men Named Arthur.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm kidding. It is Sarcasm 101. Be more gullible. Take any seat you want. Except that one. Oops. I'm kidding. Sit down.
Now, it does get wear on you a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
I realize how sarcasm constantly can be annoying, but... It's Matthew Perry.
Yeah,
Chandler doing that bit.
A little gift there because I did not see that episode mm-hmm. of SNL. So now those are skits we can go back and watch.
Yeah.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.